author of Hebrews is. I believe it's Paul the Apostle, but that's neither here nor there. In the book of Hebrews, there's a chapter towards the end of Hebrews. It's Hebrews chapter 11. A lot of people call it the Hall of Faith. It's where we have a list of a bunch of the heroes of our Christian faith. We have Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Samson, and others. The one guy we're going to talk about today is one of my heroes, and I hope yours too, Moses. So we just kind of have a few verses that we're going to focus on today about the life of Moses, and we're going to let this minister to us and to encourage us. So, Father God, thank you so much for your anointing in this service. Thank you that your will be done in this house, and we need you. We need your strength. We need your presence, Lord. Go with us throughout this week, Lord. Encourage us and strengthen us. Father God, thank you that you guide us and lead us and direct us. Heal us in every single area. Let us turn our eyes towards you. Let us be hungry for you. Let us love one another and let us love our God. And thank you that your name will be lifted up, that you will be glorified in this service and in this sermon. In the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody in church building said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. So I want to read these verses after I enjoy some of this delicious spring water. Hebrews 11, 23 through 26, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Let's go to the next slide, or slide two. It's right here, Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by Pharaoh. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So just in case nobody knows the story, let's go back to Sunday school for a minute. Joseph, way before Moses, there's this guy named Joseph, coat of many colors guy. His brothers hated him. That's a whole nother story. But Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers who couldn't stand him. So as he's sold into slavery, he ends up in Egypt through a weird bunch of crazy events, which is an amazing story. And we got to get to that pretty soon. We need to do a study on Joseph. Really, we do need to do that. But anyways, Joseph sold into slavery. He's in a bad place, man. But through God's divine hand, this guy Joseph becomes the second in command in all of Egypt. Huge famine, so he sends for his family, his brothers and his father, to be brought over to Egypt, where he can look over them and provide for them. Well, over time, Joseph's family grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. Another Pharaoh comes into power. Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. Another Pharaoh comes into power that doesn't know about Joseph, could care less about Joseph, and doesn't like his descendants. But the Hebrews, or Joseph's bloodline, the Israelites, are just growing. So this new Pharaoh looks around and says, these guys, there's too many of these Jews around here. And if we get invaded by an enemy, they might just decide to side with them. So he brings all the Jewish people into slavery, into bondage. And then he comes up with this edict, which is what we're talking about right now. He says, look here, any Hebrew lady that has a male child, that male child is to be thrown into the Nile River. Just go ahead and feed it to the crocodiles. That was the edict from the king of Pharaoh. So during that time, when that was a law, that was the law of the land, if you're a Jew and you have a baby boy, throw it into the Nile River. That was the law. Now, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Thank God for godly parents. Can I get a witness? Well, I didn't have godly parents, or I'm not talking about myself, but some of us didn't have parents that raised us up in the right way. Forgive them. Release them. Pray for them. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. So for 3 months, Moses' parents hide little baby Moses just as long as they can until his lungs get strong enough to where if anybody's walking by, they're like, that sounds like a little baby boy to me. You know, they hid the child as long as they could. But there became a time and a place where mom and daddy said, you know what? I've done that all I can do for my child. I've done all I can do in the natural. Now I got to give them over to you, Lord. And that's advice for all of us as parents. Can I get a witness? They're not under our tutelage forever, you know? But you know what? Hopefully we've been there for them. And that's something that I've struggled with over the last, I don't know, man, last several months. I got sick, and then your mind starts thinking about all this weird stuff and everything. And so you think, it's like, man, have I served my children? You know, have I been the best father I could be? Well, that short answer is no, I have not been the best father I could be. But you know what? When a thief is caught, he has to repay seven times over. So we still want to sow into our children's lives forever and ever and ever. They're always going to be our babies. Can I get a witness? So anyways, moving forward, as long as they could, they kept Moses under their care, under their protection. But there was a moment when they had to decide to keep Moses' brother and sister safe. I just got to give this baby over to the Lord. And sometimes as parents, we got to do that. Can I get a witness? So, you know the story. They take a basket, make it waterproof, put Moses in the basket, put him in the Nile River. He floats down, and Pharaoh's daughter is out there in the Nile doing her bathing, ritual bathing or something like that. She sees the little baby. And just like Moses' parents noticed that the baby was beautiful, Pharaoh's daughter sees the baby. He's like, man, this baby's gorgeous. I'm going to keep it. She's Pharaoh's daughter. She could do whatever she wanted to do. God's hand is all over this story. Can I get a witness? But so it says that Moses' parents saw that the baby was beautiful, but they weren't the only one. We know Pharaoh's daughter saw the baby was beautiful, but look at Acts 7 and verse 20. This is Stephen, right before he's martyred for the cause of Christ, gives this amazing speech to his murderers. And this is what he says about Moses. At this time, Moses was born and he was beautiful in God's sight. That's interesting, right? So we have this special baby, but you know what? All children are special in God's sight. Not just to mom and daddies, but to God. Amen. The psalm says children are a gift from God. Is that true? 100%, man. Children are a gift from God. And then David said that in the Psalms that God has a plan for all children, you know? So children are a wonderful blessing to us. Can I get a witness? You know, so we have this obligation. You know, Jesus said one time the disciples, Jesus was, you know, doing the ministry thing, and these kids, these parents were bringing their kids to see Jesus, and the disciples were like, hey, Jesus ain't got time for no kids. Jesus ain't got no time for no kids. And Jesus was like, no. Let them come to me. Jesus loved kids. God loves kids. You know, and God has a plan for these children. So us as parents, we have that obligation to train up a child in the way that they should go. Amen. And we give them to the Lord, just like Moses' mom and dad said, you know, I've done all I can do. Now I give this little one to you, Lord, and you protect this one. Amen. So if you look at me at Psalms 118 and verse 6, well, let me read this verse again. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. God saw the child was beautiful. All children are beautiful. God has a plan for all children. But look at this. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. So the government said, you know what? You got to kill your kid. You got to do that. That's the law. But these godly people, and they were godly people, said, you know what? I don't really care what the government says. I'm going to do the right thing. There's a time and a place where you have to do the right thing. Can I get a witness? And the right thing usually is not the easy thing. Can I get a witness? But these people, like, you know what? I really don't care what the neighbors are doing. I really don't care what the government's telling me to do. I know this sounds like a scary sermon, but it's not scary, dude. I'm just saying that God's way is the right way. Amen. But look at, so Psalm 118 and verse 6. Think about this for a second. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So looking at this situation, well, there's a lot that man could do to Moses' parents. The whole family could be destroyed. They could all be murdered for doing this, you know? But the right thing's the right thing to do. Can I get a witness? The Lord is on my side. So if I'm doing what God wants me to do, if I'm following the scripture, guess who's got your back? The Most High God has got your back. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to think you're super cool. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to appreciate you. But look, if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm making a stand for what's right, then God's got my back. Amen. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. So when I'm making a stand for what's right, doesn't matter what's popular, doesn't matter. None of that matters. But when I'm doing what's right, I'm making a stand for God. He says, you don't have to be afraid. Number one, you don't have to be afraid because you're doing the right thing. And number two, God is with us. Amen. So the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Okay. So there's that verse. If God is for me, who can be against me? Well, I live in this body of flesh and I don't really like pain. And there's a lot of stuff that people can kind of do to us. Amen. But how much can they really do to a Christian? Right? So 1 Peter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake. This is Peter talking to people that are already being persecuted. So he's not really saying, if you happen to go through some hard times for being a Christian, no, it's like that's already understood that you're going to be persecuted. He's saying, even if you do go through these difficult signs because of your stand for what's right, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. What? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. It's two verses, one Old Testament, one New Testament saying, sometimes you got to do the right thing. We all have a choice. You got to do the wrong thing, the easy thing, or the right thing. And God says, when you do the right thing, don't be full of fear. Don't be stressed out. Don't be anxious because I got your back. God's got your back. What can man do to me? And he says, you will be blessed. Okay. Matthew 5:10, this Sermon on the Mount. Blessed, this is Jesus. Sermon on the Mount, this is Jesus. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So God just said, got to stand up for what's right. You're a Christian. You're a Bible-believing Christian. So sometimes you got to step out of your comfort zone and stand up for what's right. Amen? You know, doesn't matter what the government's doing, doesn't matter what the newsman's doing, doesn't matter what the neighbors are doing, okay? We belong to someone else. We belong to the Most High God. We got a different set of rules that we live by. Amen. He says, yeah, you may go through some difficult seasons in your life doing the right thing. You might just go through some extremely painful situations in your life for doing the right thing. But don't be full of fear. Okay, you will be blessed. And so just for a tiny second, let's talk about that blessing. Okay. So Matthew 5:10, Jesus, delivering his Sermon on the Mount, said, blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, when you're being persecuted, you probably don't feel like you're very blessed at the moment. But like Jesus Christ, we understand that the persecution or the suffering is temporary, but there's a blessing, a great blessing on the other side. Amen. Like Jesus went through the torment and the agony of the cross because of the joy that was on the other side of that. Amen. That joy on the other side of it was Scott, was Josh, was Sister Plotty, was me. You know what I mean? He knew that through, Jesus knew through his sacrifice that there would be salvation available to all that call on him. So as I'm going through my trial, my storm for standing up for what's right, you know, God says you're going to be blessed. So look at this. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not being persecuted for robbing a bank. That's not you being persecuted. That's you breaking the law and dealing with the consequences of your own actions. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't get any better than that. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about not just eternal life, but we're talking about spending eternity with the creator of the universe. We're talking about growing and enjoying a relationship with God the Father forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. All the tears have been wiped away. You won't even have any need for your little tear ducts anymore unless you get to have to cry some happy tears, man. You know what I mean? But so as a Christian person, we should understand or let this give us peace and even joy that this right here, it's not my home. I'm passing through this place. But why I'm here for the allotted amount of time that God says I'm going to have on this earth, he wants to use me. And so to be used by God means stepping out of my comfort zone. Being used by God means doing the right thing when it ain't the easy thing to do. Like Moses' parents, they could have just went with the flow. Now, these are a pretty painful and difficult decision, but they could have been like, this is what the government says. This is what I got to do. Hold on a second. All God's people said, hold on a second. Because there's a right way and a wrong way. And as Christians, we want to do it the right way. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful thing that should encourage us to know that when this journey is over, man, our eternity is just beginning, you know, and it's going to be wonderful. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the things that God has prepared for those that love him. I mean, that just kind of means like we can't even begin to understand how magnificent God's blessings are going to be for us. We don't have the ability to understand that, you know, not here, not now, you know. But he says, just get excited. Just keep doing the right thing. Still on slide 2. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They were like, I don't care what the king says. I'm going to do what God says. So, like I said, this ain't a scary sermon, you know. But, you know, is there, we got to address it. Is there a time and a place when I may not be able to be obedient to my government? There certainly could be. So there's God's law and then there's man's law, right? And so we as Christians, we serve a higher being than the government. We serve the Most High God. Now, God wants us to obey the laws of our land, and that's true. We should do that. But whenever man's law contradicts God's law, or whenever man's law says you cannot follow the Bible, let's say it like that, okay? When man's law says you cannot follow the Bible, you cannot obey the Bible, then we're back at that situation, what we're talking about today. There's a right thing to do. And an easy thing to do. The right thing to do is to follow the Most High God. You know, like Moses' parents said, I don't care what Pharaoh says. I know he's got a lot of power. I know he can make my life miserable. It's been hard around this town for quite a while. But I'm going to do the right thing. This is my kid. and I'm going to do everything in my power to raise him up right. And then when it comes to that time and place when I can no longer have him under my roof, I 100% give him to you, God. He's under your care. So here we are. Yeah, I mean, okay, so Acts 5 and verse 29. Do we have that? We do have that. Acts 5 and verse 29. So the apostles get in a little trouble for letting God use them. And so they're led off to this place and they have to give an account for what they've been doing. And so some people say, look, just stop talking about Jesus. Just look, your life will be a lot easier if you just stop spreading this business about Jesus Christ. And so this is what the apostles say. Okay, Acts 5 and 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. That's what Christians live by. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. God, we serve God. We are Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, yeah, that had to be addressed. Let's go to the next slide, slide 3. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, underline that in your neighbor's Bible. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So remember, we already touched on this a little bit. They put baby Moses in the basket in the Nile River. He floats down to where Pharaoh's daughter was. Pharaoh's daughter's like, this is a beautiful baby. Took the baby home. Raised Moses, this little Hebrew baby, this wonderful, precious little baby. This baby was raised in the palace of the Pharaoh. Some people say that he was being groomed to be the next Pharaoh. That's something that was out there. So this guy had everything that Egypt had to offer him. Not just all the good stuff any old Egyptian could go to, which was a far better life than a slave's life, right? I mean, Egypt was the world power at this time. They were the big guys on the block, you know. But not just would he have the privileges of a regular run-of-the-mill Egyptian cat, right? But he was a prince of Egypt. He had the world at his fingertips. That's what he had available to him, anything this world had to offer him. By faith, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months. Next verse, Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up. See, there's a time and a place when us as Christians, let's talk about us for a second, when we need to grow up. You know what I'm saying? Like, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, all of us Christians, all of us that have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. That's one of my absolute favorite verses. And that's what happens to us in the spirit when we accept Christ. I am a new person. That old person is dead. Amen. But I'm a new creation in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside me. When I made that decision to accept Christ, I got adopted into the most family in the universe. Anywhere, can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So, with that in mind, with the fact that I just was handed the free gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation, he says, that needs to mean something to you, Paul. It's time to grow up, you know? And that's for all of us. I'm not talking about anybody specifically. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about me. There needs to be a time and a place where I realize, you know what, man? The easy road ain't always the right road, amen? But sometimes you got to stand up for what's right, no matter what the cost, right? That's what Moses is saying. Look, I might look like an Egyptian. I might talk like it. I might dress like an Egyptian. I might even walk like an Egyptian. All right? Yeah. Some of you got it. Some of you didn't. Yeah. That's an age thing. Yeah. But okay. But here's the deal, man. I might look like one of these guys, but I know in my heart, I'm not one of them. I'm going to serve God. I belong to a different master. I belong to another. And that's us as Christians. We don't belong to this world. We're just passing through this world. We belong to another. And God says, I want to use you. I want to make the most out of the time that you have here. I want you to stand up for what's right. Amen. I want you to be able to hear my still small voice. And when I say go, I want you to go, go, go. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. So we're this new creation in Christ. And so much has been done for us. And he says, let that mean something to you. Let that energize you. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:11. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Oh man, this verse, this is a goodie. Oh, God's people said, this is a goodie. I think so too. 1 Corinthians 13:11. This is Paul. Both of these last two verses are Paul. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. Look, we're talking about when Moses grew up. When he was grown up, he said, you know, I don't feel like I fit in here anymore. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a child of God's. That's me. That's you. We're children of the Most High God's. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And he says, look, you are not a baby Christian anymore, unless you are actually a baby Christian right now, you know. But he wants us all to mature. Think about what I'm saying. He wants us all to mature and be responsible adults. You know what I mean? That's the job of a parent, right? So God's our parent. He's like, I don't want my children to stay babies forever. They can't stay babies forever. Amen. So God wants his people to mature, to grow in a relationship with him. And guess what? Guess what? How are we going to grow in a relationship with the Lord when everything's going perfect? It happens. I mean, I love it. I love it when I ain't got no problems. I love God when I ain't got no problems. But it's been so long since I ain't had no problems. It's kind of hard to imagine that, right? But you know what? It's in that furnace, man. It's in that furnace of affliction where God really makes his man. You know, it's through those hard times that God becomes so valuable and precious to us. When we see his faithfulness day in and day out. Amen. When we grow in that intimacy because he's right there with us. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that is so true. Amen. So he says, I want my people to grow up. Like Moses, when he was grown up, it's like, I'm not going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Not going to do that. That's not who I am. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Well, that's what God wants out of all of us. He wants us to spiritually mature. You know, he wants us to grow in that relationship. And so that means stepping out of my comfort zone and not just taking the easy way. Can I get a witness? Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil. So let's go to slide 4. Hebrews 11, I'm going to read 24 again. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, God's calling us all to grow up. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. That's where we get that saying, sin is joyful for a season. Can I get a witness? It is certainly joyful for a season. That is true. Amen. Tell it is not. So choosing rather to be mistreated, this is the prince of Egypt, man. He could have done anything he wanted to have been. I mean, he could have had the easy life, the good life, man. But he said, no, that's not who I am. I belong to another. I don't care what the price is. I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care. I'm created on this earth by God. He gave me life. He knew I was going to mess it up and be a sinner. So he sent his son to die for me, to pay for my sins. So I am, not only am I created by God, not only am I created in his image, but I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved by his son, Jesus Christ. So I get to live forever. And everything that entails that we can't even begin to imagine how wonderful it is. So Moses saying, you know, this stuff right here is temporary. I can live in this palace and have the good life and, you know, do the politics thing or whatever, make people do whatever I say, but it's only temporary and I can't take none of this with me. But there was something pulling at his heart, man, saying, this isn't you, this isn't your home. That's with us too, man. There's something pulling at us. Before we even became Christians, there was that Holy Spirit tugging at us, saying there's more to it than this. There's more to it than this. You know, we all have that God-shaped hole in our heart that can only be filled by him. And so, you know, in our years of rebellion, we fill it with anything we can. You know, trying to be happy, trying to have fun, whatever. But you realize now, looking back on it, it doesn't last. It's temporary. Anything this world has to offer gives and takes away. You know what I mean? There's always a price to pay. But what God has for us is everlasting. Yeah, everlasting. You know, it's a good thing. It's a big thing. Look at your neighbor. It's a big thing. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Look at John 15. John 15, 18 and 19. This is what Jesus Christ said. Through this time here on earth, man, we're going to have trials, tribulations, hard times. And it can go a lot easier on us temporarily if we just kind of sit back. But God has called us to stand up and do the right thing. You know what I mean? Sometimes we can kind of hide out in the corner and let things go by. But that's not always what God wants us to do. We got to stand up for what's right, no matter what the cost. But, you know, by the way, what can man do to me? What can he do to me, right? Well, if he takes my life, which is a possibility, I got heaven, man. You know, to be absent from this shell, man, is to be present with the Lord. That's the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing about being a Christian. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear anything. You know, the unbeliever right now, you know, so a lot of self-medication going on right now because the world's a scary place, right? Everything this world has to offer, it gives and takes away. So the unbeliever right now, it's a very scary time for them. You know, everything's so crazy right now. You know, I wasn't around for the last Civil War like some of you guys were. No, I'm playing. No, man. I mean, look, we all, it's about as close as we've been since like 1860 from going at each other again, you know? And then there's all this stuff going on all over the world, all these wars and rumors of wars, plagues and pestilences, all this craziness. You know, we really need the mind of Christ to navigate through your day to day. You know what I'm saying? But see, to the unbeliever or the unsaved, it's a scary time. So they do something, you know, but when that wears off, you know, there it is. It's that fear, that anxiety. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me when I die? That's always in the back of the mind somewhere. But as a Christian, someone that's been washed by the blood of the Lamb, I don't have to worry about any of that. Now, I do need to stand up for what's right. Amen? Can I get a witness? I do have a job to do. That's why God has me here. Amen? But I don't have to worry about where I'm going when my heart stops beating. I don't have to worry about that because I know where I'm going. You know what I mean? So we Christians should have that outlook or that joy, you know, that inner peace and that just overflowing of excitement that, man, this ain't my home, man. And I'm just passing through here. and there's something better waiting for me. Amen. Look what Jesus says. John 15, 18 and 19. If the world hates you, it's not an if. If the world hates you, as a matter of fact, somebody said, if you're not going through some sort of persecution, then something's wrong. Because all God's kids are getting it. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, if you were not a Christian, if you were of the world would love you as its own. We see that every single day. Every single day. If you were of the world would love you as its own. And you know, there are people that think, well, you know what? This world would be a lot funner. This world would be a big hoot and a holler. This world would be a lot better place if we could just silence those stupid Christians. It's true. It's true. They will, these Christians, they will not conform to anything. They got their little book and they say, you got to live by this book. I got to live by this book. You know what I mean? So Satan speaks into their little ears and says, you know what? You guys could have a lot more fun if you just get rid of those guys, if you just silence them. Well, see, you can't silence us. You can't silence the Christian. When they're persecuted, the faith grows. When they're persecuted, the individual grows in intimacy and strength and maturity with their Lord. And when they're persecuted, man, they don't hide that love under a bush. They don't hide it under a basket. They let that light shine. So they think, if they would just shut up, that would be great. And let me have my fun. Well, see, to the unsaved, we are the aroma of death to those that are perishing. What does that mean? That means the fact that you exist is a constant reminder that they're facing eternity. The fact that you exist is a constant reminder that there is a God. And if there's a God, then they're not in charge. And if there's a God, he has some things that he wants us to follow. So to some, to those that are perishing, we are the aroma of God. And it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a deep, deep thing. Have you ever just been hated by somebody and there was really no reason in the world for them to hate you, but they just hated your guts? Well, there you go. There you go. I've been there. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, look at that. Your life would be a little easier if Jesus didn't choose you, if God didn't choose you. Oh, man, but aren't you glad that he chose you? Aren't you glad? He did not have to choose us, but he chose us. He said, you know what? He put so much value into us. You know, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's that love, man, that Paul the Apostle talks about. You know, it's like we can't even figure it out, but he just loves us so much. He sent his son to die for us. You say that all the time. Dude, we're Christians, man. That's what we talk about. That's where everything changed right there. Without Jesus Christ, we're nothing. Amen. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So not only am I a saved person, but I can be obedient to him. I can stand up for what's right when it might cost me my head, when it literally might cost me my head. I can stand up for what's right. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, kind of read that fast. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. We're not of this world. We're in the world, but this ain't our home. And Jesus Christ picked us, handpicked us. Therefore, the world hates you. Because to the unsaved, to the ungodly, we are the aroma of death. That's just how it is. Heaven forbid you get on your high horse and go stand out on the rooftop and condemn everybody and act like you're better than all them. But you know what? We do have an obligation to let that light shine. The right thing is not the easy thing to do. Moses's folks, like I said at the beginning, thank God for godly parents, man. Moses's folks could have just been like, well, the government said we got to throw the boy in the river. Nope. I don't care what the king said. I don't care what Pharaoh says. I'm going to do what God says. And he says that children are precious. He says that I got a plan for these little ones. And just like he's got a plan for every single little one, he's got a plan for all of us. Because at one time, you were a little one, you know, and God still has that plan for you. And he wants to use you. Look at Luke 9:23. Now, this verse right here, I think I've used it in the last three or four sermons. I don't know, but it's just that powerful to me. Luke 9:23, because it really is our marching orders. Luke 9:23, this is Jesus. And he said to all, because that's it goes out to every single person. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me. So here's Jesus saying, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be my disciple, well, this is, you need to understand that it could cost you something. You need to understand that it could cost you everything. That, and we don't even really, really get that here. Unless you're part of one of these churches where somebody kicked in the door and started killing people. Like that right there. We're only beginning to really kind of understand this just a little bit here. But people throughout the world that get baptized, make that public proclamation that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, that I'm a Christian person, they could be ostracized from their family. They could be killed by their family. The Middle East, they got those mercy killings for people that convert to Christianity. They don't get persecuted by law for doing that, you know. In Nigeria, people are getting killed by the masses for following Jesus Christ. No one even hardly ever talks about that, you know. But people are dying all over the world because they're followers of Jesus Christ, you know. So when he says, if the world hates you, don't forget that they hated me too. And it's because you're not part of their little system. You belong to something greater. But it still doesn't change your marching orders. You still got this obligation here. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, like Moses. Because, you know, we make these decisions every single day. You know, Moses had to make a decision one day where he's like, well, I could have all this, and it sure is pretty. The lap of luxury, might just end up being Pharaoh myself one day. I got all this, man. I could have all this forever. Or I could follow God, and it might cost me everything. But what can man do to me? What can man do to you? Nothing. To be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. You know, can I get a witness? So, you know, I guess it kind of boils down to, you know, letting God use you and saying, you know, can I make my life count for something? That's kind of a weird way to look at it. But, you know, we could take the easy road or we could stand up for what's right. You know, do the uncomfortable thing, you know, like Moses' folks, like Moses. I'm not taking the easy road. I'm not really your daughter. I'm not really your son to Pharaoh's daughter. Okay. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross when he feels like it, if he feels like it. Is that what it says up there? And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, if you come after me, if you want to be my servant, you need to know this. You need to understand this. You need to prepare yourself for this. Let him deny himself. It's not about you anymore. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross. It's not a pretty symbol. You know? Now, it's jewelry for us. It's jewelry. It's an ornament. It's something to decorate with. For us, I mean, we see people that have absolutely no love for Jesus Christ wearing a cross, you know? But even that shows the impact of Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? You see, back then, when Jesus made this statement, obviously this was before he went to the cross. So he is alluding to the way he would suffer for all humanity. But not only that, when he spoke of the cross, he was talking about agonizing torment, embarrassment, humiliation, you know. He said, you have to do this on a daily basis if you want to follow me. Deny yourself. It's not about you anymore. You belong to another. You belong to the Most High God. I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Amen. Can I get a witness? And you pick up your cross daily. You deny yourself daily and you say, I'm willing to do anything, go anywhere, whatever it costs me for you, Jesus, because you gave all for me. And I ain't got but one life to give, but it's yours. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I mean, we can't even begin to imagine how repulsive that was to hear for Jesus to say, you want to be my disciple? It ain't the easy road. You got to pick up your cross. You got to be willing. This was a thing of torment, a thing of slow, agonizing, embarrassing, beyond painful death. And he said, you got to be willing to give it all up. Give it all up. And that's what he's asking of us, you know. Salvation is a free gift. You didn't pay for that. You didn't earn that. You couldn't. I couldn't. But he paid for that with his own blood, you know. And when we accept that gift, he says, now you step out of your comfort zone and you let your little light shine, even when it ain't cool, even when you ain't around people that are going to think it's so awesome for you to talk about Jesus. You know, whatever it costs you, amen. I mean, look at what's been going on in our world, you know. People are being murdered because they love Jesus Christ. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, what did Paul, no, I'm not going to say that. It makes no sense. But Satan hates us so much. He hates you. I mean, he cannot stand you. He can't touch God. He can do nothing to God. He can't do nothing to Jesus. He done figured that out. That blew up in his face. The only thing he can do is mess with God's prized possession. That's us. We are the children of God. Everybody's his children. No, nope. We are all created in his image. But to be his child, you have to be that new creation in Christ. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But now, once you do that, you have been adopted into God's family, like I said, but you now officially made a real enemy who hates your guts, and he knows his time is short. And he can't mess with God, so he's going to try and mess with God's kids. That's all he can do, you know. But what can he do to me? Nothing, nothing. To be absent from this body, man, I'm with the Lord. You know, so whatever. It's like the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Right? All right? I say that right? If I'm alive, if this heart's beating, I got air in my lungs, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what I've been called to do. But to die, silence me, 20 more will be talking tomorrow. You know? And buddy, you just gave me my ticket to paradise. You know, so we're winners, man. We don't lose. We can't lose. And if we had that in our mind, man, that we can't lose, then we can really serve God, really serve him, you know? Mm-hmm. Are we on slide? Wait a minute. Okay. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Is everybody all right? Okay, now we're wrapping things up. It's always, when I got to get onto somebody, it's always that corner. It's always that group, that little group. Oh, God is good, right? Okay. Hebrews 11, 26. I'm going to read 25 too. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. So the NLT version says verse 26 like this, and I like this. Talking about Moses, he thought that it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. So one thing that helps us to understand, or this should help us understand, Egypt in Scripture represents the world, represents that world system. Okay, so it's kind of like this. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You ain't taking none of it with you. Okay, Moses thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. So he was looking forward, like Jesus, for the joy that was set before me, endured the cross because of what was on the other side of the cross. Moses said, I'm going to suffer with God's people because I am God's people. God has called me to be a servant. So I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm not going to sit in the palace and take the easy road, you know what I mean, and have somebody feed me grapes and some dude with the fan, which sounds pretty cool, right? So no, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what it costs me, man, because I'm not my own. I've been bought. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the Hall of Faith are these heroes of the faith. You'll see them. Hebrews 11, there's tons of them. But after Hebrews 11, there's Hebrews 12. Yeah, you won't get that great insight down at Olivet Baptist. I don't think I've ever called a church out by name when I did that stupid little thing. They're great folks. God bless them. I don't know any of them. Anyways, that was stupid. Hebrews 12 comes after Hebrews 11. So Hebrews 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, the author of Hebrews. I don't know if it was Paul. But the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews 12, talking about those great heroes, Abel, Joseph, David, Samson, Jephthah, those guys, Moses, then he says this, therefore, talking about those guys, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, since there are so many people that have went before you and have fought the good fight. And they did what they were supposed to do with their time that they were allotted here on earth. Not perfectly, but these are people that we can look to and learn from their mistakes. Say, I don't need to do that. You know, and see where they trusted in God and how mighty their God was, which is my God as well. You know, and how God blesses those when you stand up for what's right, you know. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so here's the picture the author of Hebrews has given us, you know, and this is kind of why I think it's Paul, is because of this verse right here, because Paul talked about sports a lot. Paul talked about racing. It was a big thing in the Roman world back then, you know. So the author of Hebrews talking about a race. So this great cloud of witnesses, picture an arena filled with Abraham, with Abel, with Moses, with Noah, you know, all these guys. And then it's us down there on the playing field. It's our turn to run our race. And these guys have already done it. And so the author saying, man, look, these guys did their part. And then they're cheering you on, okay? And God's cheering you on, okay? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. See, the Christian walk, the Christian life, he's saying it's a race. Everybody's got a race. Scott's got his lane. Travis has got his lane. Larry's got his lane. Nancy's got her lane. Kimmy's got her lane. Paul's got his lane. We're all in this race. We're all in this race, okay? And he says, there is some stuff in front of you, some hurdles. Jump over them, move through them, whatever. Grab the rope, swing over to the alligator pit, do whatever, you know. But this is your race, man. This is your race, all right? Well, what about that guy? Don't worry about that guy. No, your race, man. You start thinking about that cat, you're going to trip up people. You're going to fall down. You're running your race. You see, you'd be already surrounded by a bunch of dudes that have already done it, a bunch of people that have already done it. And then eventually, you're going to cross that finish line, and you're going to be part of that great cloud, and you're going to see those next generation. But since so much has been invested in us, and so much, there's so much important stuff that God wants us to do while we're here. Saying you only got a certain amount of time. Your race is only this amount. It's only this long. Now make the most of it and serve me. Step out of your comfort zone like that dude Charlie Kirk, right? I mean, how about that guy? You bringing him up, man, because it was super impactful because it reminded me, there's a lot of things it showed me, but one of the things it reminded me that this Christian walk could cost me my life. It could very well. Well, you're the preacher. You should I do expect that. It's not out of the question, but hey, what about you guys, right? It doesn't say just preacher Paul or preacher so-and-so, you got to deny yourself and pick up your cross daily and follow me. He says, if everyone, so this ain't no game, man. This ain't the easy road, you know? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. We burden ourselves with things that don't matter. We burden ourselves with the weight of this world when we shouldn't, right? Jesus Christ has already overcome the world and we are more than overcomers, right? We get so burdened with things that we have no reason letting them burden us. We shouldn't let them burden us. You know what I mean? And then there's the weight of the world and all this and everything that's going on. And then there is the sin that's in our life, you know? And God says, you know what, dude? It's time to grow up. It's time for you, Paul, to mature and lay that stuff aside. All right? You should have put that junk away when you became a Christian. You should have stopped thinking that way, doing that, whatever, when you became a Christian. Okay? But now, I'm calling you to go deeper in your walk with me. I'm calling you to put me first. So you got this race. Now, get rid of all this stuff that's slowing you down, man. That's distracting you from the prize. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. Did you know back in the old days and in these days, these dudes ran naked? They ran naked. Yeah. That has nothing to do with the sermon. I just like, man, how about them apples? Did you gotta run around naked? That'll get you running fast, I reckon. Yeah. Well, you know, so the picture is, I mean, don't picture the naked person, but yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when you public speak, they say, okay, just picture everybody in the audience naked. I'm not doing that. I ain't doing that. That don't make no sense to me. So let's close in prayer. No, please. We are going a little long, so let's run. But okay, so these dudes would run naked. And the Apostle Paul, or the author of Hebrews, I'm sorry, was saying, dude, you're burdening yourself with stuff you don't need. You got to run your race. Get rid of all this weight. Okay, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We all have a race set before us. Some of us are here, some of us are there, some of us are just starting. But we're all in our race, you know. And he says, endure till the end. Don't give up. Don't waste time. Serve me, Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, because we can get so tired of doing the right thing. How many times have you thought to yourself, I am tired of being the bigger man. I am tired of doing the right thing. You know what I mean? Let me just clock out for 5 minutes, Jesus. Put on my ninja outfit and go to town. Yep, there you go. Amen, amen, Scott. And let us not grow weary of doing good. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So then let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. There's that blessing again. All right? There's that blessing. God says, don't give up. Just keep serving me. But it's hard. I know it's hard, man. But just trust in me. Let me strengthen you. We'll get through this each and every day. But he wants us to be productive. So we're going to close with Acts 13 and 36. My friend Dalton, who does the bulletins and the slides and all that, he messaged me this morning. So he gets to look at the notes and stuff and everything, you know. He's like, are you sure? Is Acts 13, 36, is that something you want to put in the message? Because he kind of knows my formula. He knows what kind of looks like it's fitting or what doesn't look like it's fitting. So I was like, yeah, man, leave me alone. No, I didn't do that. He is in here. I didn't do that, but I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to try and use it. But see, so here's the deal. What we're talking about today was Noah and his faithfulness and all that. But really, it's about doing the right thing. It's about serving God, you know, no matter what the cost, because that's truly what's important. So the whole sermon was birthed through Acts 13:36. Has nothing to do with Moses. But this is where the Lord had been ministering to me about this topic for, you know, a few weeks. So I'm going to read it to you real fast. This is Acts 13:36. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's making the statement that when David wrote something, he wasn't talking about himself, but he was talking about Jesus. But the part that I want to bring out is what Paul says about David. Okay, so this is what Paul said about David. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. Fell asleep. In Scripture, when you read about a Christian dying, it says fall asleep. It's not meant to be some horrible, tragic thing. Says Christians fall asleep, and he was laid to rest with his fathers, and his body saw corruption, or his body decomposed. But this is the thing right here. This is what really spoke to me when I read this a few weeks ago. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, David was not a perfect man, but we can say this, that he served God with the time that God gave him on earth. He served God. He was faithful in his generation. He messed up. He dropped the ball. He repented, and he moved forward. You know what I'm saying? But he served God. With the time that God had him on the earth, he served his God. And that's me and you. I don't know how much time any of us have, but you know what? God wants us to serve him and be obedient to him and let our light shine and do the right thing, which is almost never the easy thing. He wants us to do the right thing and show a hurting world the love of Jesus. Even if the world hates your guts, that doesn't change the marching orders. Can I get a witness? We want to be faithful in our generation. We want our loved ones to be able to look back and say, well, he was a hard man, but I'll tell you, we want them to be able to look back and say, you know what? My dad was faithful to the Lord. He loved the Lord and he served the Lord. And so that's what we want. Amen. We want that.